to the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce podcast, your local business community resource. My name is Denise Heidel. Not only do I serve as your podcast host, but I'm also the executive director of the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce. On behalf of the Chamber, thank you for listening and for your support of the Chamber business community.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce podcast. This is your host, Denise Heidel, and I am very excited to be joined today with my friend, Dawn McGee, with Coach Pro for You. But before we introduce Dawn, I want to go over a few announcements of what is coming down the pipeline here at the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce. Before we start today's conversation in April, I want to make sure everybody knows April 20th is the 2024 Clemens Community Day. This is the 13th Clemens Community Day. And once again, we are partnering with the Village of Clemens to co-launch two events side by side. So their farmers market pop-up market will be there, as well as our event, both at the Jerry Long Family YMCA. So we're looking at two birds, one stone, double the impact and double the fun. So make sure you're signed up for your vendor booth or join us as an event partner for Clemens Community Day 2024. There will be no rest for the weary because Monday, April 22nd through the 24th, we will go into Entre Leadership Simulcast Days. These are three powerhouse days. We're going to be streaming the Entre Leadership Simulcast live. I think it's being filmed in done in Dallas, Texas this year. But if you were part of Entre Leadership last year, you know this is an incredible opportunity to hear from some dynamic speakers at literally pennies on the dollar of what it would cost you to go to this event in person. So we are thrilled to be able to bring it back to our business community, and I hope you will invest in yourself and invest these 3 days. I mean, I promise you, you will not regret it. All that said, we have a really, really great show planned today. We're going to be talking to my friend Dawn McGee with Coach Pro for You, your HR solutions company.
We're going to take a quick pause from today's podcast to recognize one of our sponsors, Marzano Capital Group.
Hi, this is Mike McGilvery, financial advisor and partner at Marzano Capital Group in Clemens. We are privileged to serve this great community, and we strive to help our clients by building wealth management plans tailored to their specific goals. Consistent client communication is the cornerstone of our process, and we hope to add value to your financial planning needs.
Once again, thank you to Marzano Capital Group for their support of the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce. And now, let's get back to the podcast.
Dawn, thanks so much for joining me today. This is your second time on the podcast, right?
Yes, it is. And thank you for having me again, Denise.
Absolutely. So before we get started, for those who don't know Dawn, Dawn, would you give a brief introduction of yourself and what you do? What is Coach Pro for You?
Well, Coach Pro for You is an HR solutions-based company. And so I help you put the easy in HR. So there's all this HR stuff that we as business owners, we need to know about, and we don't know what we don't know, right? So I take my expertise. I was in corporate America for 25 plus years. I've been 25 plus years in human resources, a certified HR professional, certified professional coach, as well as a certified facilitator for many, many, many different training programs. So my passion is really helping the small to medium-sized businesses grow, scale, exceed their goals, but most importantly, help protect them by mitigating their risks in human resources. Because as a solopreneur or a small business owner, we don't necessarily know all of those laws, or I should say you don't necessarily know all the necessary laws and regulations that you have to abide by. And,
sorry to interrupt. And they're always changing, right? Let's be clear, right? They're always changing. Right?
They are always changing. So you mentioned Entre Leadership, and I do want to give a shout out for that. I attended that last year. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. I highly, highly recommend that. If it works for me, I will be doing it again this year if my schedule can accommodate that. So it's that good that I would invest in it twice and do it again. So I highly recommend you do that. It's incredible training. You must invest in yourself personally and professionally to grow. And I don't care what business you're in, you have to do that. And with human resources, you have to invest in that. Unfortunately, that is the area that most business owners, they know the least about, number one. And number two, it is the biggest category that opens them up for risk and liability.
Right. So, and that's a really great segue into today's topic. So Dawn has been a guest on the podcast before. She's a wealth of knowledge. She's a really fascinating person to talk to. If you've never scheduled a one-on-one with her, I highly recommend it. But one of the things I really wanted to ask Dawn to come to the table today was the very complex matter of HR compliance. If you've seen Dawn recently, you've probably seen her with a rolled up poster in hand, running in and out of businesses, helping them make sure they have the signage that is, you know, to help them stay compliant in the workforce. So that's our topic today. We're talking to Dawn McGee with Coach Pro for You about HR compliance. So, Dawn, let's first of all just ask the question, why does this even matter?
Well, first and foremost, you know, in business, it's all about money, right? The bottom line. HR compliance, it is absolutely essential because if you don't have it in place, you could be imposed penalties and fines and lawsuits that cost you lots of time and lots of money that can impact your business. So it's essential to maintain legal, ethical, and operational integrity. And why is that important? Because your business and you are your brand and your reputation within the community. And if you get a mark on your business for not having those things in place, disgruntled employees, et cetera, it could hurt your business. It can also give, while having it in place, it gives your company a competitive advantage. That helps you attract and retain top talent. It also helps your employees to be engaged because guess what? What they're seeing when you're investing in HR stuff, like the training, the soft skills, making sure their compliance policies and procedures are in place, while other friends of theirs may be working for companies that are not, it helps you create a better culture and they're going to stay longer and other people will want to work there. Now, non-compliance, you've got some legal obligations that lead to, like I mentioned, fines, penalties, lawsuits, et cetera. And the bottom line with that is it really could damage your reputation.
So how can a business make sure they are compliant? Because it's a lot.
It is. It is a lot. And, you know, I attend regular webinars every single week because something in HR, policies, procedures, et cetera, are continually changing. It's also based on case law and things that are happening here and there and whatnot, right? So why is it important? How do you ensure it? Develop a compliance plan to help mitigate those risks that we just spoke of. You want to protect your employees' rights. You want to be viewed as a positive a workplace environment for your employees to be in. Stay knowledgeable, stay in the know. So let me ask you a question. You know, you're a business owner too, Denise, and you know, are you staying up on those laws on a weekly basis or even a monthly basis? Do you have time to do that and run your business?
No. And I mean, I just, honestly, the whole thing is exhausting to me just talking about it. So, I mean, no, you're right. You're right. I mean, at some point you have to have production time. How do you have production time when you're doing things that, you know, you open a business because you've got a passion for something. You want to serve other people. You want to bring a resource to the table, but you don't open it with the plans that you're going to necessarily be the marketing person, the HR person, the janitor, the, you know, the bookkeeper. You don't plan all those things when you launch a business. You launch a business because you've got a vision, but it, you know, but unfortunately then you get stuck in the weeds of all of this stuff, which is why I'm very thankful for people like you.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So it is daunting, right? So you need to stay in the know. You need to hire an HR consultant. Or if you don't want to hire an HR consultant, hire an employment law attorney. They are a lot more expensive. I will tell you that. But you have to stay in the know about relevant laws, relevant regulation, industry standards, because they change pretty regularly. Some of the other things that you could do to ensure compliance is develop some really good HR policies and procedures. Make sure you're aligning those policies and procedures with the laws, the regulations, things like wage and hour labor laws, classifying the employees the right way. There is a whole slew of things that you need to make sure that you're doing correctly, right? Ongoing training of your employees, not just procedurally, but ongoing training stating, hey, we want this to be a positive work environment. We do not tolerate discrimination of any kind. We do not condone whatever, fill in the blank, right? And another thing that you can do to ensure compliance is monitor and audit. Make sure you have an HR compliance audit of some sort in place. And let me ask you this. You probably know the answer to this, but most business owners, do you actually know what an HR audit consists of?
I have no idea. You gave
There's
me
a
too much
whole.
credit because I don't have a clue.
Okay, so there's a whole lot of stuff on there. So, to your point, and I love what you said, you start a business because it's your passion, right? You're starting a business because you have a product or service that you are passionate about that you want to get to the public, correct? But we can't be a jack of all trades, right? We need to hire the experts. And I had a client just recently say to me, hey, you know what? We could do this. Until we grow bigger, we can handle the social media and the marketing, and we can do this and we can do that. Although we've made a very, very conscious decision to hire the experts where we need to be. And one of those experts happens to be an HR consultant. And that's why they hired me.
So you're talking about an example that I and this is just pure speculation on my part, that I think might be more of the exception rather than the rule, especially for
That is.
solopreneur who's just getting started. Like, for instance, if somebody's starting a business and they know right up front, I can't afford employees, I'm gonna have to do this myself. So they're not even thinking of this stuff. They're not even considering the HR factor because it's just themselves, or maybe as them and their spouse, or a family member. So they're not even factoring in the equation of HR. So let's say, for instance, a business, and I'm throwing a wrench at you, okay? Because we didn't, when we brainstormed this session, we didn't talk about this. So you've got this solopreneur or small family venture that's starting out. They're a year or two in, now they're ready for their first employee. At what point do you do the HR stuff before you hire the employee, or while you're hiring the employee, after the fact, before a problem? What is your best recommendation there?
That is a great question. I recommend you hire an HR consultant before you hire your first employee, because there's things that you need in place. You need to have a job description. You need to have employee handbook. You need to make sure you have standard operating procedures with your basic policies, procedures, and you need to have your onboarding training program. And you need, first off, before we even hire an employee, let's even go back even further to the very beginning. How do you select the applicants and make sure that you're doing that legally,
Right.
right? So there's a whole lot that goes into that.
Now, that one I do understand to know the legalities of like the interview process. I mean, not everybody knows that stuff. I mean, I'm not going to name names, but years ago, I mean, this is like my son was in grade school years ago. I interviewed with a company that I was asked all kinds of questions that I knew were not supposed to be asked in an interview. And you want to know what's crazy? I was being asked by somebody who worked for a law firm.
Interesting.
Yes, I won't name
And
names.
again, and that particular law firm probably was not an employment law firm.
Well, it wasn't a lawyer that I was interviewing with. It was their marketing department.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so they but it but the irony to me was this is a law firm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You would think that
Right.
all law firms understand what the laws are.
Right.
And what I know and understand about law firms, each one has their own specialty.
Right.
So you hire a specific lawyer for a specific need. If you're going to buy or sell a house, you're going to hire an attorney who specializes in real estate, right?
Right.
If you're going to create a will, you're going to hire an attorney that creates wills, those sorts of things.
Right.
But Yeah. So ensuring compliance, back to that, Denise, I would also say is, if issues do come up, address them immediately. If you know that you are just that family operation and you're knowing you do need to start hiring an employee, or oh, maybe you have a bunch of people working for you and you're doing them, they're identified as 1099 independent contractors, we probably need to have a conversation because that is another area that could get you into trouble. And just, be proactive and figure out what those laws and regulations are. And if you don't want to take the time to go do all that research yourself, give me a call. Let's do a one-to-one. Let's have a conversation. Let's see if it's a good fit and we'll go from there. And if I'm not, there's other HR consultants out there too, but the most important thing is being protected.
So let's talk about, we're throwing the word compliance around a lot, and that's a really, really broad term. What are some of the top compliance issues that employers are facing these days?
Well, some of the top employee there's a bunch of them. And I was really thinking about what are the hot buttons that I hear of the most. One of the big things is equal employment opportunity, fair treatment, fair wage, non-discrimination. And that's in recruitment, hiring, promotions, compensation, all those sorts of things. Anything based around protected category, okay? Wage and hour labor laws, that's huge. Making people in payroll, are they getting paid for all hours worked? That is huge. Employee handbooks and adhering to policies and procedures. So employee handbooks are huge. If you have an employee, you must have an employee handbook. You have to have an employee handbook so that you can demonstrate that you are consistent and you are training these employees on these things. We talked about employment classification, having a W-2 employee versus an independent contractor. There's other things also too, is who could be deemed a manager? Does it satisfy the test that the Department of Labor has laid out? Or not for them to be classified as a salary manager. Harassment, discrimination, that's another biggie. And then there's other things too, but those are the top ones. I mean, there's other things out there like leave of absences and how you handle those and employee benefits. Do you offer them? Do you not? Who's entitled to get them? Who doesn't? Whatever you decide to do, it has to be inconsistent. So that's the big name of the game, making sure that you are in compliance. That and basically, okay, well, instead of using the word compliance, you're abiding by the rules and regulation of the law, the various agencies.
All right.
Does
So,
that help?
yeah, it does. And my wheels are kind of going because, like you said, I mean, it's
Frozen.
so many things all over the place with this. I guess one other question I have for you is, we talked about how can a business ensure they're compliant, and we've talked about the top compliance issues, but what are the risks? If somebody says, look, I hear you, I agree with you, but I don't have the bandwidth to have this conversation, I don't have the budget for this conversation, what are the risks that they face for non-compliance?
One of the biggest risks are penalties and fines, legal penalties, fines, and lawsuits. And you and I had this conversation not too long ago, where one of the governmental agencies, I'm not going to name which one, was out on foot in various counties in the triad, walking into businesses, and they're checking things like these top issues that we just talked about. And if that should ever happen, I will say this: if somebody does walk in and ask to see your posters, your files, or starts asking you any questions about how your business is structured or how you classify your employees, get their information, let them know you're willing to accommodate with them and have a meeting, but schedule it at a future date, and then pick up and grab their business card, and then pick up the phone, call me, and let me kind of look at some things. Unfortunately, I am aware of, and I will not name names, a couple of companies locally who did get fined a very large dollar amount. And on a first offense, So, what's the impact, right? On a first offense, it could be between $10,000 and $50,000. Now, I don't know how many small businesses out there can afford to all of a sudden just write that kind of a check for a penalty. And rest assured, even after submitting that check, you're on their radar and they will be back to check to ensure that you implemented the things that they discussed. That's one of the risks.
That kind of brings me to my next question. So, you talked about, these people who walk in, who are they? And again, because compliance is a pretty broad category, and I would imagine there's some degree of subjective viewpoint on some of these issues. Some of them, I'm sure, are black and white, but some of them have to be pretty muddy, gray areas. Who is it that's deciding what is and is not compliant? Who are these people?
Oh, those agencies, that could be the EEOC, Employment, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. It could be the Department of Labor. It could be the National Labor Relations Board. It could be the Department of Justice. It could be the Department of Health and Human Services. It could even be the State Labor Department. Those are just some of the agencies that walk in. And, OSHA, that's for, I didn't even mention that one. OSHA, that's for the safety, right? And so if OSHA happens to just walk in, I have a very strong background in operations, grocery retail, pharmaceutical retail, restaurant, right? If OSHA walks into your establishment, they don't necessarily have to identify themselves that they're walking in. They could just happen to be in as a customer and then see something. And then they need to find the manager and then they need to identify who they are. Oftentimes, if they're actually going to do an audit, they are required, I believe, and maybe I shouldn't say required, but it's been my experience that upon arrival, they go right up to the service desk or ask somebody for who is the manager in charge, and then let them know who they are and ask them, hey, I'm here to do an audit. Okay, that doesn't mean that you have to let them do it right then and there. That is the thing that a lot of people, they get afraid of, I think, because, well, I'm here to do an audit. I'm with this government agency. Ask to see an ID, get a business card, and see if you can schedule it for a time that is going to be work for the both of you.
Yeah. So let's say that somebody comes in, they do the audit, you're determined to be in, out of compliance. What are the first steps to get in line? And is there a way to avoid that huge penalty?
Okay, lots of questions there to unpack. Yeah. So I don't think, I would like to believe there isn't anyone out there that is determined to not be in compliance. Now, that's the way I think. But are there, if somebody knows that they need to have an employee handbook and they're refusing to get one or to pay for one or to have one done, I guess that could fit that scenario. Or they know they have to have the proper posters. But I don't know. I like to think that people aren't determined to not be in compliance. So the other question was, what was the other question? I got hung up on your first one.
No, it's fine. So my main question is, what are the first steps to take to get into compliance? If somebody's found to be out of compliance about something, what are their first steps that they have to do?
The first steps. Okay. To get into compliance. Great. Okay. I'm with you now. Whew. All righty. That first statement was just threw me off. Sorry about that. So really the first steps. First, I would definitely seek out somebody that is a seasoned HR consultant or an attorney that specializes in employment law. Okay. Now, attorneys are very, very expensive. The very first thing you need to do really is to assess the situation. Do you have something immediate that you know that you're not in compliant with? Okay, do you have an employee handbook? Are you for sure that you have all your posters up and all the right posters up for your business? Do you have a standard operating procedures? Are you following OSHA safety and hazard guidelines? Are you training your employees? Those sorts of things. So we kind of look at some of those. Develop a compliance plan. And that plan might include things such as, okay, hey, I need to find somebody to consult with to see, okay, you can do a bunch of Google searches, you can do this and that and whatever. However, I would not solely rely on that because that information is not always up to date. Per your comment earlier, things are changing, sometimes on a weekly basis. So we need to stay up on those. Allocate resources, too. And that might mean, okay, so allocate resources to ensuring that you do get compliant by maybe hiring somebody, investing in, personnel, time, a consultant, legal experts, invest in training of your employees, those sorts of things. Monitor and evaluate, make sure you have an HR audit in place and know what that is. Make sure your personnel files and records are consistent. Do you have them? Do you have the right documents in those files? Do you have things in those files that aren't supposed to be there? For example, an I-9, do you even know what an I-9 is? Okay, you have to have them. If you have employees, every employee must have an I-9. Well, guess what? That I-9 cannot be in the employee file. It has to be stored elsewhere. There's a whole different procedure for that. Implement corrective action, be consistent. Whatever it is that you're doing, just be consistent with it and make sure it's right. Document, document, document.
I want to go back to
go
that.
Ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. I do know that I-9s are not supposed to be kept in the same file. I'm just curious why.
Well, because let's see, what organization is that? And that is escaping me right now. The INS, I believe. They said they cannot be in the personnel files. They must be in a separate folder, notebook, or something, and they must be locked in a separate cabinet away from the personnel files. Those two cannot be together. Why is it? Because the INS says so. That is federal law.
Okay.
Just cannot be in there.
Yeah.
And it could be for the sole fact of, it could be discrimination reasons. If you're getting ready to do an employee evaluation and now you're looking at the I-9 and you're seeing certain classifications, this person has a green card, this person has this, that, whatever. Because some of the information there is information that we should not be using for performance appraisals, promotions, compensation, those sorts of things. So that could be the reason that.
Yeah, I remember this was years ago at the past job. I was involved with the managing the HR files for our employees. And I remember keeping the I-9 separate. I also remember keeping two folders for every employee, and they were color coded. There was the personnel file and there was the medical file. So that,
bingo.
Yeah, so that we could not combine the two. So if there was a performance issue, the manager could only have this one file. They could not have the medical access file. So, and I mean, I always understood keeping those two things separate. I'd never thought about it before until I had that job, but I never did understand you just answered my question about the I-9. I mean, like I said, we always had a separate lock and key area for the I-9s, but just was never really sure what the reasoning was for that. But okay.
And you brought up a good point, if I can interject on that, because a lot of people, what you just said, a lot of people do not know that. The personnel files that I've been looking at lately, they have all this medical information in them. And they have to be separate. And now either the employee medical files and the I-9s, those can be locked in the same cabinet. The employee medical files and the personnel files, those cannot be in the same cabinet either. I would highly recommend they not be in the same cabinet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a ton of paperwork. And I'm not somebody who likes paper. I mean, I have paper. If you come into my office, you're going to see paper. But as much as I can be digital, I prefer that. But yeah, having all those files I hated dealing with those files just because there are so many. I mean, there were so many rules and regulations about what had to be stored where and how it was to be filed. And filing is just not my strength. So.
Exactly. I'll share something with you. So in grocery retail, I was in grocery retail for almost 20 years. And in grocery retail, because we employed minors and things of that nature, we had every single month the Department of Labor would come in and audit, do an audit. They would audit our posters, but their main focus was our personnel files and payroll records and things of that nature. There were other things as well. So I was accustomed to whatever territory I oversaw, I was the person that actually met and sat down with the auditors. So I've got 20 years experience of knowing what they look for. So 20 plus. And when I then left and went to pharmaceutical retail, they really had never had an HR audit up to that point. Although I actually chose, made a bold statement and said I would not work for this company if they did not implement an HR audit and I got all those stores that I was responsible for in compliance. Because if we ever audited, I knew that what the fines could be. And so yeah, that's very interesting. So there's a lot of people out there that have no idea what these audits entail. Business owners, small businesses, that sort of thing. So
So what happens if someone, they find out they're not in compliance, it's a small business, and they just don't have the funds. They don't have the manpower or the resources to afford the steps to become compliant. Are there any resources for a small business owner who maybe can't afford? I mean, they're having to make a very hard decision about whether or not they're going to be able to even stay in business all over a compliance issue.
So, yeah, absolutely. I would look at grants. If there's any type of grants out there that their business could qualify, I would look for that. That way they can kind of afford that. You could try to do some of the do-it-yourself stuff, right? Try to do as much, learn as much as you possibly can. I've done workshops. That's another thing, where I've done workshops on HR Basics 101, specifically auditing files, those sorts of things. And that's another very inexpensive way to do that. So every couple of years, I may do one of those. And it's not expensive. That's a small thing. I would also talk with whomever you're speaking with some flexible payment options. That's something that definitely could be done. What other things are there? Obviously, you want to prioritize your highest risk area first, and then look at your financial plan and figure out where you can reallocate some resources, maybe at least to get a certain thing done. I do have some plans where with very small businesses where, they can secure me as a retainer, that sort of thing, and I'll go in and do a complimentary audit. You could also see if there's people out there that will actually do that, could go in and do some things complimentary or bring somebody in as maybe I don't know, an HR intern who they've got their schooling in HR, they've just learned about some of this stuff and they need extra hours or whatever, and they can kind of come in and do that. That's another way, possibly. Although I would then feel more comfortable after the intern did that, have a professional come and just do a quick look-see to make sure everything is accurate and up to date. So, some of the easy fixes, I would think, some of the easy fixes are the posters. And, I have a heart and a passion for the small business owner because I've been there. All of my children are small businesses. lots of their friends are. I know a lot of small businesses, so I try to make it as economical as possible. It honestly, if you look at it, Denise, from dollars and cents, you cannot afford to not be in compliance, because you could literally one infraction of, if you have employees now, if you don't have employees, you're not required to have posters, you're not required to have an employee handbook, you're not required to have some of those things, but you are required to abide by the non-discrimination of the protected classes and those sorts of things when you're dealing with customers, vendors, all of that too. You know, so once you start to have employees, you do have to start making a plan for that. And the biggest thing is be strategic, be creative, collaborate with others. I'll be glad to do a one-on-one, have a free consultation with folks, and then, you know, just minimize your risk and, you know, just reach out. I'll help you put that easy in your HR.
There you go. Well, that just sounds like the bow on top of this conversation. So I'm very thankful to you, Dawn. I'm thankful that you were willing to come on and talk about, you know, which really, honestly, it's complex and it's intimidating and it's overwhelming for somebody who just wants to serve their community, but they signed on to do a business without even necessarily, I mean, I'm everybody knows HR exists, but it just wasn't front of mind. You know, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, the typical small business owner did not go into business to work on HR. Mm-hmm. Unless they're like you and they opened up an HR services business. But you know, that's just not what most people are thinking about. So anyway, I am very thankful that you're always generous with your wisdom and your experience and willing to share with others. So that is a wrap for this edition of the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce podcast. Make sure you're checking out our website, louisville-clemens.com. And of course, if you want to get in touch with Dawn, can you tell them quickly how to get in touch with you?
Certainly. You can call me at area code 336-403-6798. I prefer a text message. Let me know who you are and what questions you have. I'll be glad to return that phone call. You can email me at coachproforyou@gmail.com. That's COACHP as in Paul, RO, number four, letter U, at gmail.com. Or go to my link tree, which is linktr.ee/Dawn McGee. Or just Google my business.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Dawn, for joining me. And thank you for listening. Catch you next time.
Thank you for having me again, Denise.
Absolutely. Once again, thank you for listening to the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce podcast. The Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce is a member-focused business community. I invite you to learn more about the chamber by visiting our website, louisville-clemens.com. And while we're in the world of audio, it's time for the fine print. Everyone has an opinion, but in this case, the views and the opinions stated in this podcast are solely those of the contributors and not necessarily those of our distributors. So now that you've been appropriately advised, let me remind you that this podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without expressed written consent of the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce.